Money FM 89.3, best of the breakfast huddle. The Bigger Picture with Ryan Hwang.
Money FM 89.3, The Breakfast Huddle with Elliot Danker, Manisha Tank, and Ryan Hwang. Time now for The Bigger Picture. You're covering quite a lot today, Ryan, on The Bigger Picture. I mean, obviously, top of our minds are still the FOMC meeting where they unveiled a new approach for inflation targeting, basically low rates for longer, I believe up to 3 years. It was also the last one before the US election. So there's a lot to watch out for.
Yeah, there is a lot to unpack this week, not just the FOMC. You've got the Brexit saga brewing, and you've also got oil prices moving up. And of course, you have what is happening with the BOE. They are now exploring negative interest rates. So that is quite a milestone. To help us unpack it all, we've got Phan Vi Leung. He is the CIO of Track Record Asia. V, good morning. How are you doing?
Hey, hi, morning, Ryan. How are you?
Hey, V, great to have you on the line. So let's get your take on what's going on with the US markets first. We've seen the rally being lifted by technology stocks for some time, and there's now some signs that it's starting to fizzle out. Do you see sentiment still being supported for this tech sector with new devices from Apple and tech IPOs, or do you think valuations are just too lofty right now?
Okay, so the valuation question is just it's just random, right? It's always been lofty according to many people, tech stocks. But however, we have seen it rally through this crisis. It's done really, really well because it's one of the only sectors that are thriving, right, besides the medical sector. But it is not just surviving, but it is thriving. So it's driven by earnings as well as the unlimited amounts of money that the Fed is printing. So I believe the fundamental drivers are still intact. What we have seen from the last 2 weeks is retracements from the highs, and that's a healthy retracement given that many retail investors have been rushing in. And of course, once the speculators get involved, there will be volatility, right? So I believe that's a good thing over the long run. But also, we have seen corrections since the FOMC meeting, which you guys were referring to. And I think what spooked the market was that there was dissent within the FOMC committee. There was two dissents. One wanted the Fed to be more aggressive in their forward guidance. One wanted to be less aggressive, to keep some flexibility around it. And that's always a bad thing, right? We are in the middle of a crisis still. And if there's there's dissent, that means they clearly don't know what direction it is going. Of course, Fed Chair Powell says it's healthy because it is the first time that they are going to, they are the first central bank to go to average inflation targeting. So they themselves are trying to figure out what's going to happen. But I think that message itself disappointed the markets. Within the Fed projections is very weird, right? Because they say, okay, basically average inflation targeting means that they will target average inflation for it to overshoot the 2% target for some time to compensate for the time that it undershoot before. And yet within their central projections, they don't have the central projections of inflation only reach 2% in 2023. It doesn't overshoot. And that essentially means the Fed policy right now should be even more aggressive, right? So, and in the press conference after, the Fed chair basically said this forward guidance that they're giving is very powerful. He said powerful for 10 times. He mentioned the word powerful, right? So he clearly wants the market to see that they are very aggressive, but markets somehow don't see it that way because of the dissent, and I think because of the projections. And again, short-term speculators decide to just be safe, just get out of it and see what happens. But I think this works out the excess positioning in the short term, but it allows for a more durable rally in the longer term.
Yeah, V, so I think of 2 points that you really raised that were quite good. So the near zero rates for at least the next 3 years, you've got this dissent issue. 8-2 was the outcome on the committee. And the fundamental support for the tech sector, we might see higher highs ahead for this sector. So that is something to watch out for. And when you keep that in mind, what is the shape of the US economy right now? Is there enough momentum to push ahead? Because if you look at the latest jobs data from the unemployment benefits, you've got 850 or the 860,000 Americans filing for unemployment benefits. So that is a gradual improvement from recent weeks. It's lower than the previous week by 33,000. So what's your take on where the U.S. economy is going from here?
Right. So it's a good point you bring up about the initial claims, but it's better than expected number, but it's still a very high number, right? So there are still millions of people unemployed from before the crisis compared to before the crisis. And that is that needs to be worked out. And that's why Fed says they are going to be very patient to allow for higher jobs creation before they react to any inflation risk. No doubt, the world economy is improving. The U.S. economy is also improving. But what we're going to see is that the benefits that the first stimulus bill is running out, right? So the Fed, the government right now is still struggling with another budget stimulus, right? There's still the Democrats and the Republicans, and they still cannot agree on a number. And what we have is the impending the presidential elections in November. So we're going to see a lot of volatility around the markets, but the job market is just going to, there are many industries that, you know, even after the expiry of benefits from the government, it's hardly going to come back anytime soon, right? Mm. So for example, people who, I used to travel a lot, I'm sure many of your listeners travel a lot, they are now all not traveling at all, right? So that means that there are sectors such as travel, hospitality, is just going to be struggling in the times ahead. And what we've been seeing is that a freeze on loan collection moratorium across many countries in the world, benefits from the government subsidizing these loans. But when that expires, we're going to see more corporate defaults, or at least they need to extend, right? So I believe things are getting better, but things are still very bad.
So when you look at the currencies, right, the U.S. dollar, we've got now low rates or near zero rates for the next 3 years. How much downside is there for the U.S. dollar? Because this year on the dollar index is down more than 5% versus Sing dollar is now at about 1.35. That's more than 1.5% down for the past 12 months. Where does it go from here? How much downside do you see for the greenback?
Well, I believe that it's going to continue to weaken because the central banks are really aggressive in easing and in printing money, and that just devalues the currency of the value of your paper currency, right? So what we'll see is devaluation of paper currencies across the world against hard assets, and that's also one of the reasons why stocks are doing so well. But comparing currency pairs, you are now looking for the cleanest dirty shirt, right? Because everybody is printing. So the metric that I'm looking at is you can print a lot, or you can spend a lot if you have savings, right? So countries with excess savings, such as Singapore, China, the currencies are doing well compared to those with no excess savings, which are actually borrowing, right? So you see countries that U.S. dollars at least has a reserve currency status, so their weakening is not as bad as some emerging markets, such as Turkey, right, where their currency is being crushed because they don't have anywhere else to go besides spending paper currencies, which they are printing.
Yeah, talking about the search for the cleanest dirty shirt. If you look at the UK, it's now exploring negative interest rates. So how much pressure does this put on the pound? Because if I look at how it has been performing this year, it's actually up 3.6% versus the US dollar, and for the week it's up 1.5%. And this is against a backdrop of Brexit.
Yes, but it's also just recovering from the drop last week because of Brexit, right? What I think the headwinds for the British pound is just, it's going to be Brexit. They're coming close to the deadline. They have to come to an agreement in October. And I'm sure you've been talking about Brexit for years as well, and it's been years, right, that they're discussing, and they still cannot come to terms with exactly how to do this Brexit. And although markets don't want to hear, I'm sure many of your audience is like, what's up with this Brexit, right? But nobody really knows, right? Because they have yet to come to any agreement, and that will put pressure on it. And this is really not a good time to have trade disputes, right? Because you want everything to be aligned for your trade recovery. And if they cannot come to a trade agreement, their trade will be curtailed somehow, and you will have pressure on sterling. And unfortunately, as I said, it's a difference. It's a relative valuation situation. Mm. So sterling is doing well against the US dollars because US dollars is printing a lot. But now, as you said, they're going to go in negative rates, and that will put headwinds way on the currency as well.
Yeah, those are very good points. I think we'll keep it there for today. We've been chatting with Phan V. Leong. He is the CIO of Track Record Asia. V, thank you so much for your time today and have a great weekend in advance.
Thanks, Ryan. Yeah, take care. Bye.
Before acting on the information on Money FM, please consider if it's suitable for your own investment objectives, financial situation, and risk tolerance. To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SBH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.